In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're going to continue with volume 7, 10-20-1906. And Jesus says to Louisa and to us as well, who are reading the volumes, therefore pray for priests that they may be light for the peoples. So the priest is to be the light, and not to be another lay person, but to be the light, to teach the parish the dogma and doctrine of the faith. And Jesus says why he wants this is so that as the light arises again, so the priesthood is going to grow in a way that is going to astonish the world. Jesus says that what he has planned for his priesthood is to renew the priesthood to such a degree that the whole world will change. Like I said, hospitals are full. The psychiatric units are full. The prisons are full. It's the priest's job to empty them. This is not anyone else's responsibility but the priest. And he says this, as the light rises again, it's going to happen. This, he says, the greatest sorrow that Christ has is the terrible plight of the priests. And he says, when this right light arises again in the priesthood, the secular may acquire divine life and they may see the errors that they have committed. And by seeing them, they shall feel disgusted to commit these grave excesses ever again. And that shall be the cause of great chastisements, grave chastisements. So the chastisements will be diminished when the priests become the light again, when the priests, in each parish, brings the sacraments and the sacramentals to the laity. So that the people, Jesus says this, these sacraments and sacramentals are the medicines that are needed today. They help the laity, deal with all the problems, all the physical, spiritual, mental, emotional sufferings that everyone's going through, with these sacraments and sacramentals, the parish, the parishioners are healed. So he says, these grave excesses of sins are causing grave chastisements, and the Lord wants to bring a healing to all of this. But the way he is doing it is through his priesthood. That's why the priesthood is attacked so viciously today. God is purifying his church. And Jesus says to Louisa, it will be my priest that will do this. And Louisa says, I don't see any priests. I see very few priests who begin to understand what you want done. And Jesus says, I only started out with 12. And if I end up with only 12, it will conquer the world. And then he says this, though, but there will be an army of priests who will bring this the sacrament of sacraments to all of humanity. So he says, therefore, pray for priests. Our job is to pray. If you have trouble with a priest or a bishop, it's because we're not praying. It's our fault. We have to pray more than ever. We're fighting this war that we're in. We're fighting to bring the truth, bring Jesus to humanity, to all our brothers and sisters, and it's going to happen. Everyone will become Catholic. That's what Jesus tells us in the last chapter of volume 24. There'll be one church, one flock, one shepherd. The dream of Jesus is going to come true, and we're going to see it. Great things are in store. Amazing things are going to happen, and it's not doom and gloom. It's going to be tough. It's going to be, it's a war. There will be casualties, but God is going to win. God cannot lose. And so he says this, he says how this is going to happen with his priesthood. He says in volume 10, 1911, the family kills the priest. Self-interest is the woodworm of the priest. So here, Sister Louisa says, I will now write things of the past in order to obey. She was told that she had to put everything down by her spiritual director, put everything down on paper that Jesus has told her so that she won't have to suffer the flames of hell. Because if she didn't do this, he says, you're going to suffer greatly if you don't obey. So she says, in order to obey, she says, I don't want to be purged. She says, and I will explain myself about these reunions of priests. So Jesus is going to bring about a reunion of priesthood. And he says this, that blessed Jesus wants, since a holy priest came during last November and told me to ask Jesus what he wanted from him. And my always lovable Jesus told him. So now Jesus is speaking to the priests. The mission of the priest chosen by me will be high and sublime. It is about saving the most noble, the most sacred part, which are the priests, he says, who in these times have become the laughing stock of the peoples. We see that very clearly. Anything on television, the priest is the idiot. The priest is the silly one. The priest is the one who is not masculine. The priest is the one who is just ridiculed behind everyone's back. It's behind the priest's back. He says, this priest chosen by me will be, the mission will be high and sublime. It is about saving the most noble, the most sacred part of the Holy Church, which are the priests, who in these times have become the laughingstock of the peoples. The most appropriate means would be to form these houses of reunion for priests. So this is the first thing. The Lord is going to bring the priests together to be an army, to be a platoon, to be ready to fight. And this isn't a war of blood. It's a war of love, Jesus says. He says, this reunion of priests, so as to segregate them from their families. Okay, now this is a hard one for a lot of people to hear. Because the family kills the priest. See, the priesthood is so, as he says, so sacred, so noble, so high and sublime that the family can't see it. Jesus said he could produce no miracles in Nazareth because a prophet isn't accepted in his own home, in his own town. What Jesus wants from the priesthood is Alter Christus, another Christ. And what a lot of people do is they go, well, I know him. You know, I know him, and he's no better than anybody else. And that's true. The priests are weak. The priests are, as Jesus said to Louisa, he says, I can find no masculine priests. That was 1900 he said that to Louisa. The priests are to be the one who leads the flock back to Jesus, who leads the flock back to our Lord, our Savior, our Master, our King. The priest is the one who is his call is to pray. His vocation is to be in charge of the Eucharist. That's his responsibility, the Holy Eucharist, to give this gift to all the people that are in his parish. So it's not anything that we really see today. I know a number of parishes, everybody's got a key to the tabernacle. The priest, the pastor is in charge of the Eucharist. And what's here, he says, the family who's close to this man kills the priest, kills the priesthood. And while he should promote it, push it, he should also imitate it. These are saved. If these are saved, if the priests are saved, the peoples are saved. So Jesus is showing us that what he wants the priesthood to be is to be separated from the family. You know, it's proven that every Protestant minister who is looking for a new job outside of ministry is divorced. Why? It's the priest. He's married to the church. He's married to all the people. He is to help them, to nourish them, to strengthen them, to lead them, to guide them, to direct them. And it's with family, you think more of I owe them. I am responsible to them. And the family that we have, the priest has, is their parish, is their people. And so what Jesus says here, he says, the priests should be segregated from their families. He says, because the priest should promote the priesthood, should push it, imitate it, the priesthood of Christ. And if these priests are saved, then the laity is saved. The evil one knows if he can destroy a priest, he's got the whole parish. If he can destroy a bishop, he's got the whole diocese. If he destroys anybody greater than that, he's got as much as he wants. Our job is to pray every day, pray for priests. If you have trouble with your priests, your bishops, you're not praying enough. That's what Jesus is saying. If the priest is saved, the peoples are saved. She says, then I received four communications from Jesus regarding these reunions, how the Lord wants the priest to begin to live. I wrote them and I gave them to that priest. So I did not think it was necessary to repeat them in these writings of mine, but obedience wants me to write them and I will make the sacrifice. So now she's going to explain what she has been given by Jesus Christ to the priests. And this is why this book is so essential, the role of the priest and the divine will. Everything's going to change. Everything's going to change. The priesthood, Jesus says, I'm going to bring it back to the way I wanted it from the beginning. He wants the priesthood to be so powerful that you know, people are raised from the dead. That's not just for the Old Testament, no, the New Testament. It's for today. There's a lot that needs to be accomplished. And God is going to do it with those priests who, Jesus says, basically are enter into this light of God, this life of God, this love of God. This is what God is waiting for the priesthood to do. So she says, number one, my adorable Jesus told me the mission will give a high and sublime in a special way for priests. So this mission that's about to occur, that is occurring, he says, Jesus will give this high and sublime mission in a special way for priests. Faith is almost extinguished among the peoples. That's what we see. The parishes are dwindling. When I was in the seminary in my diocese back in 1964, there was 350 seminarians. Now our diocese has maybe 15, maybe a little bit more seminarians. What happened? Faith is almost extinguished among the peoples, and if there is any spark left, it is although hidden under ashes. The life of priests, which is almost completely secularized, and maybe worse than that, as well as their examples, which are not good, lend a hand to extinguish this spark, the spark that's dying. And what will happen to them and to the peoples? So Luisa is saying, who's going to help bring this fire, this fire of love back to humanity, back to God? He says, and this is why Jesus says, I have called the priest so that he may interest himself with my cause and with example, with words, with works, and with sacrifice, that the priest may put an amend in it. The most suitable, appropriate, and effective mending would be to form houses of reunions for diocesan priests within their towns, segregating them from their families. Because again, Jesus says, the family kills the priest, causes the darkness of interest, causes the darkness of appreciation of mundane things, the darkness of corruption to be cast into the midst of peoples. So it's not bringing light and life and love to the parish. Jesus says it's bringing mundane things, corruption to humanity, to their parish. So Jesus says, I'm going to correct this. This is going to be corrected. It's all going to be corrected. He said, I must purify my church. I must purify the world for this great gift that's going to be given to mankind, because mankind isn't ready for this gift. There needs to be a purification. There needs this purification to happen. In sum, it takes away all the prestige, the splendor of the priestly dignity, and makes the priest become a laughingstock of the people. And then Jesus says, I will give him intrepidity, courage, and grace if he gets down to work. So what is the work? It's to fall in love with Jesus. The work of a priest is to spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament. I remember when Bishop Sheen came to the seminary, when I was in the seminary, and he knelt down in front of the Blessed Sacrament perfectly still for an hour. I mean, he didn't move. He was adoring God and loving God and praising God and thanking God and glorifying God. And he talked to us about that afterwards. He says, here you are in the seminary and Jesus is here. Do you spend time with him? He said, do you fall in love with him? This is something that's essential for the priest. He must spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament. That's why Pope St. John Paul II said he wanted Eucharistic adoration in every parish. Not just for an hour. Eucharistic adoration in every parish. And the one who should be leading the charge is the priest, the pastor. He should be there leading everyone to Jesus. And he doesn't have to say anything. He's kneeling in front of his Lord. And this is what Jesus is saying. Today, it takes away all the prestige, the splendor of the priestly dignity, and makes the priest become the laughingstock of the people. He will give him intrepidity, courage, and grace if the priest gets down to work. The work is to be in love with Jesus, to be in love with Mary, our King and our Queen of heaven and earth. In addition to this, it seemed that Blessed Jesus adorned his heart, and Luis is talking about this priest, now with love, now with sorrow, letting the priest share in Jesus's pains. And again, suffering, Jesus tells Luisa, is the stagecoach to heaven. The suffering that God gives us, spiritual, physical, mental, emotional suffering, leads us to paradise. It's to share the suffering one with Jesus, one with Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. Number two, she says, my highest and only good, Jesus, continues to speak to me about the great good that would come to the Holy Church by forming these houses of reunions. The good, listen to this, the good will become more good. Those who are imperfect, those who are lukewarm, those that are relaxed, lacking, they will become good. Those who are really wicked will go out. God's going to purify the church. And he says he's going to do this through these houses of reunion of the faith. This is essential that we go through this. It's not going to happen. Jesus says the good will become more good. The wicked will be gone. He says that to Luisa. He says, I am going to get rid of the poisonous plants that are killing my innocent plants. I'm going to get rid of them. See, the time for the kingdom to be established is coming. Jesus says, I have to get the world and the church ready for the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. So he says, and this is how the body of priests of my church will be riddled and purified, riddled and purified by means of the purification of the chosen part, the most sacred. And then the people will be reformed. So God is going to work on the priesthood first. And the saints have said this, the pavement of hell is covered with the skulls of priests. The pavement of hell is covered with the crushed skulls of bishops. The saints have already told us this. Jesus says, I'm going to, by the means of purification of my chosen part of the priesthood, the purification of the priesthood, the most sacred, the people will be reformed. We're going to be, read Ezekiel 34. Well, what does he say? He says, you shepherds, you religious, you're eating the flock. You're destroying the flock. And so Jesus says, I'm going to come and I'm going to lead my children. I'm going to lead my flock. They're not going to be your food anymore. What's coming is a new beginning for humanity. Why? The kingdom is coming. It's the fulfillment of the Our Father. That's the whole reason for the divine will, to prepare the people for the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. She says, in the meantime, I, Louisa, could see before my mind, as if inside a picture, Corrado and the priests who were to lead this work. And through it would be directed by Father G. The priests seemed to be Father C, D, B, D, and C, and F, followed by others. It seemed that they were to put in a share of their possessions. And my adorable Jesus added, it is necessary to weave this thing well. God is doing this. God is putting this together so that no one may escape. He wants to bring everyone into the kingdom. And he needs the priesthood. You think of a net. You know, the net is woven strong, so that the fish don't break out of it. He says, so that no one may escape. He wants everyone in the kingdom. And he's given to the priesthood the sacred duty to bring them into the kingdom. That's the responsibility of the priest. I said before, you know, the priest is responsible for everyone in his parish. Every Jew, Buddhist, Hindu, Muslim, Protestant, atheist, He's responsible for every soul in his parish. And Jesus is going to say to him, what did you do for these souls? How did they not get into the kingdom? See, the priest has a horrible responsibility, a terrible responsibility. Everyone that is in his limit, his boundary, his parish, is his to bring to the kingdom. And Jesus is expecting this. So what's happened here? By forming these reunions, the good will become more good. It's so great. And the bad will be gone. He says, but I'm going to bring priests together, he says, followed by others. And it seemed that they were to put in a share of their possessions. And my adorable Jesus added, it is necessary to weave this net well. We're going to capture everybody, Jesus says, so that no one may escape, and to procure the necessary means so as not to burden the people. So the parish income should be tied only to those who will participate in these reunions. And these will maintain the choir and all other offices pertaining to their ministry. At first, this will provoke contradictions and persecutions. This is how it's going to be. You have to understand what God wants. Everybody fights. Then Jesus says, "Do you think it's easy for a bishop to agree with me?" Jesus says. He says, "Do you think this is an easy thing for me to do?" He says very clearly. He says that it'll provoke contradictions and persecutions, but mainly among priests themselves. When I brought this up back in 1994, I said, let's start the reunion of the houses of the faith. And every priest I talked to said, no, not going to do it. And I said, but Jesus wants this. And they said, nope, not going to do it. And I could never figure that out. But here, Jesus says, contradictions and persecutions, but mainly among priests themselves. However, soon things will change. The people will be with them, generously providing for them, and they will enjoy the peace and the fruit of their toils. Because for those who are with me, I, God, allow that everyone be with them. So again, the priest's job is to be with Jesus, leading the charge to be with Jesus. Like I said before, when you're in front of the Blessed Sacrament, when you're in front of the monstrance, it's not to read a book. It's not to pray your prayers. It's to fall in love with God. That's the whole reason for Eucharistic adoration. St. Teresa says, if you can't think of anything, read a little and then focus on Jesus. And then if your mind is gone, you had to think about, read a little more and then focus on Jesus. God's going to show you how little we think of him, how little we fall in love with him. And until the priests learn to fall in love with God, it's going to be a struggle. It's going to be, I know so many people that would say, they're looking at their watch, I've got 5 more minutes and then my hour's done. Like I said, with Bishop Sheen, he stood there perfectly still. He didn't look at his watch. I was astonished by him. He was in love with God, listening to God. Jesus is always speaking and he's listening to the Lord. And now that's one of the things that the priest has to begin to do because of what's coming. The kingdom is coming and he needs his priests to be so strong that they can face anything. And you only can face anything, the devil himself, is if you're one with Jesus. This is the strength. He is our strength, our Savior, our Lord, our Master, our King, our God. So the Lord is asking us, he's pleading with us, the priests, to pray. Now, if you don't have Eucharistic adoration in your parish, ask your priest. It's like some people say, well, I don't have a priest to teach me divine will. Ask your priest. See, it's your prayer, your voice is necessary to help the priest become who God is calling him to be. You know, it's just, he says, what did he say here? He says, the peace, they will enjoy the peace and fruit of their toils because of those who are with me. I, God, allow that everyone be with them. Then my always love of Jesus threw himself into my arms. Here, this is not romantic. When he goes into the arms of Louisa, he's the little child, the little baby of Nazareth. And he says to her, you know, what a little child would say, I'm cold, help me, hold me. Look what's out there. When Louisa falls into Jesus's arms, Jesus is the father and Louisa's the little daughter. There's nothing romantic here. It's falling into the arms of the Father, Louisa, and us, and Jesus falling into our arms as his protector. So my always loved Jesus threw himself into my arms, all afflicted and supplicating, so much as to move to pity even the stones. And he said, tell Father G, I beg him, I supplicate him to save my children. And not to let them perish. That's the role of the priest. Save my children, Jesus says, and don't let them perish. This is the entire town that the priest is living in. Save my children. Don't let them perish. The role of the priest is very serious. I've had women come up to me and they say, I want my son to be a priest. I said, do you pray for him? If God is asking this your son to be a priest, you better pray for him or he's going to end up in hell. And most of the women say, what are you? You don't know my son. You know, and it's like, no, you don't understand. The devil's going to be after the priest. The devil's going to try to destroy the priesthood. I mean, he's doing that now. Jesus says, with these houses of reunion of the faith, the priest will be strong. The priest will be noble. He says, this is what's coming. That everyone is going to come to Holy Mass. It's not going to be, you know, just a few people in the church as today. The church, every church is going to be filled to the capacity. The lines for confession are going to be enormously long. Why? God's going to get everyone ready. He says, I must purify the priesthood. I must purify my church. I must purify my world to get ready for this great event that's coming. The kingdom is coming. Jesus says, save my children. Don't let them perish. Number three, my always love of Jesus continued in the same topic with the fathers. The fathers were present. So the priests were there. And I saw the heavens opened and my adorable Jesus and the celestial mama coming toward me and the saints looking at us from heaven. And my benign Jesus said, my daughter, tell Father G that I absolutely want this work, want this houses of reunion of the faith. Jesus is going to do this. All we have to do is say yes. What did Our Lady do? When the angel said, you're going to be the mother of God, basically, she says, how can this be? I want to please God, but I've already had a vow of virginity for the rest of my life. How can I be the mother of God? And the angel said, it will be through the power of the Holy Spirit. And she said, fiat mihi. I am the slave girl of the Lord. Let it be done as you say. She said, fiat. God did 100% of the work. It's the same thing here. Jesus says very clearly, I, God, absolutely want this work to be done. And therefore, all that I ask is you to say yes. That's all God waits for. Lord, if this is what you want, let it be done. Let me see what you're going to do. That's exactly what St. Louis de Montfort said. He says, they'll be the greatest saints in the history of the church, history of the world. And it's nothing that they have done, but what God has done for them. God's going to do this. God's going to do this. I absolutely want this work. They already begin to raise difficulties, but tell him it takes nothing but intrepidity, that word, sorry, courage and lack of self-interest, courage and lack of self-interest. It is necessary to close one's ears to all that is human and to open them to that which is divine. We have to begin to see things from a divine perspective. We have to hear what Jesus is saying. Otherwise, the human difficulties will become a net and will keep them entangled in such a way that they will not be able to get out. And I will justly chastise them. Why? God wants this. He's going to do it. All that he needs us to do is yes, fiat. Rendering them the rags of the people. But if they promise to get down to work, I will be all for them and they will be nothing but the shadows which will follow the great work, Jesus says, so yearned for by me. All we have to do, see, this is the great thing about the divine will. All that Jesus is asking of us is just to give our yes. Would you give your yes and let God do this? Will you give your yes so God can accomplish what he has planned? Okay, so that's what St. Louis de Montfort says. Greatest saints, history of the church, history of the world, and it's nothing that they have done, but what God has done for them. Jesus is so powerful. He is going to do this. But if they promise to get down to work, I will be all for them and they will be nothing but the shadows which will follow the work so yearned for by me. Not only this, but they will have another great good. Listen to this. In fact, the church needs to be purged. That's what's happening. And washed by the shedding of blood. That's what's coming. You have to understand this. Because the church has dirtied herself very, very much to the point of giving me, God, nausea. But in the places where they will purify themselves in this way, I will spare the blood. So Jesus says it's going to be purged. But if you say, okay, Lord, let it be done, you know, surrendering to divine justice, I will spare the blood. What more do they want? Then turning around as though looking at one of the priests, he added, listen to this. I choose you as the head of this work because I have cast the seed of courage within you. This is a gift. See, we own nothing. We have nothing. God gives us gifts, and the gifts that he gives us are living. They're alive. This gift, this is a gift, and I do not want you to keep it uselessly. Up to now, you have wasted it in frivolous things, in foolish things, and in politics. And these have repaid you by embittering you and giving you no peace. Now enough, enough. Give yourself to my work. Use the courage I have given you only for me. See, the priest belongs to Jesus. He's talking to every priest. It's not somebody else. He's talking to every priest. I have given you only for me, and I will be all for you. I will repay you by giving you peace and grace. I will make you acquire that esteem which you have been fishing for back there, in which you have not obtained. Or rather, I will not give you human esteem, but divine esteem. The thing that Jesus teaches is very clear. It's not to be looking at things of the earth. It's to be focused on the things of heaven. The things of the earth, they're all going to disappear. The things of heaven are eternal. And Jesus says, this is what I want the priesthood to be. And this powerhouse of what? Filled with the Holy Spirit. Alter Christus. Giving life to humanity. This is what Jesus is doing. He says this, I will give you not human esteem, but divine. And he said to Father G, my son, courage, defend my cause. Sustain, help those priests whom you see a little disposed for this work. A little disposed. Promise every good in my name to those who will commit themselves, and threaten those who will cause contradictions and obstacles. Tell the bishops and the leaders that if they want to save the flock, this is the only means. It is up to them to save the shepherds. It is up to the shepherds to save the flock. And if the bishops do not place the shepherds in safety, how can the flock ever be saved? So Jesus is explaining very clearly, he's going to do this. All that he needs is our fiat. If we say yes, God will do it. How is he going to do it? I have no idea. But I know he says it's going to happen. This is his greatest desire for the church, for the world, is to bring the priests back to what he wants them to be, not what the world wants them to be. 4, having heard about the difficulties of the priests in forming the houses of reunions, I was praying to good Jesus that if it was his will that it be done, Jesus would dissolve the obstacles which were preventing such a great good. And my adorable Jesus had come and told me, my daughter, all the obstacles come from the fact that each one looks at this thing according to his own conditions and his own dispositions. And naturally, they encounter 1,000 laces and stumbling blocks which prevent their steps. Then Jesus says this, but if they looked at this work according to my honor, God's honor, and God's glory, for the good of their souls and for the souls of others, all the laces would be broken, all the obstacles would vanish. We're going to do this for the glory of God. We're going to do this for the love of God. Yet if they commit themselves, I, Jesus, will be with them. I, Jesus, will protect them. So much that if any priest will try to oppose or hinder my work, Jesus says, I am. He uses God's name. I am even disposed to take his life away. See, he's very serious about this. This is going to happen. And no one's going to stand in Jesus's way. Then all afflicted, my always lovable Jesus added, my daughter, do you know what the most insurmountable stumbling block and the strongest lace is? It is mere self-interest. Self-interest is the wormwood of the priest, which renders him like rotten wood that is fit only for burning in hell. Self-interest. It can't be anything of this world. The priest can't have anything of this world. Well, how about some comfort? No, nothing of this world. It's all for the glory of God. Interest makes the priest the laughingstock of the devil, the mockery of the people, the idol of their families. Self-interest. Our focus has to be on Jesus, Mary. This is why I said the leader of the parish should be in front of the Blessed Sacrament every day, bringing the flock in every day to adore God and love God and praise God and thank God and glorify God, to worship God, to be with God. The parishes are empty most of the time. Jesus says, self-interest is the wormwood of the priest. Interest makes the priest the laughingstock of the devil, the mockery of the people, the idol of their families. Therefore, the devil will put many obstacles to hinder their work, because the devil sees that the net in which he has kept them, chained and enslaved to his dominion, is being broken. This is what's going to happen with the houses of the reunion of the faith. So tell Father G to infuse courage in those whom he sees disposed, and not to leave them until he sees the work has started. Otherwise, they will be just keep planning, but will not conclude anything. Let him tell the bishops not to accept new ordinations if they are not disposed to live segregated from their families. In Italy, the families took care of the priests. The priests went home to their family every day, basically. Tell him also that many will deride him, make fun of him, and discredit him, but he should not pay attention to this. Suffering because of me will be all sweet for him. This is what the priests are going to discover. The priests are going to discover the sweetness of Jesus through suffering. Physical, spiritual, mental, emotional. Everybody goes through this. But when we link it to Jesus, it is sweet. Why? We are suffering with the Lord. We are suffering with him, spiritually, physically, mentally, emotionally. These houses of the resurrection of the faith, the reunion of the faith, this is something that the Lord is going to begin as we see everything fall apart around us. This is good. He's getting everything ready. He's getting everything ready. He, the Lord God Almighty, is in charge. It's nothing to be afraid of. Now is the time Jesus is saying this. Now is the time Jesus is saying to us, get ready for this new and this great outpouring of the Holy Spirit that's coming. This is a glorious time to be alive. And these houses, the reunion of the faith, the whole world is going to become Catholic. The universal life that Adam lost is coming back to all of humanity. So we'll end with a prayer. May the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live on God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name, under the mantle of Mary, through the intercession of Louisa. And we pray for divine healing of all the little children, the holy divine will. We pray that this prayer becomes God's command, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you. We'll see you next week.